What is grace? Grace is community. Grace is passion. Grace is for everyone.
We are concluding our sermon series on all of creation today with one final look at what God has made. First, we looked at the Star of Bethlehem and how we welcome those strangers who are chasing after God, even if they don't know it. Next, we explored the oceans and all the vastness that it contains. Water reminds us of monsters and adventure, but also of cleansing and how God makes us right so that we can share God's grace with the world. Last week, we explored the mountaintop and ended with Martin Luther King Jr.'s words about having been to the mountaintop. Like him, we work to let God's glory shine in our lives to benefit God's people. And now we wrap up moving from the vastness of space, from massive oceans and the tops of the highest mountains, to something very particular. God made all of creation in 6 days, and his last act of creation was the creatures on the land, and then his crowning achievement, the people of the earth. Paul is going to read about the many members of Christ's body. This is written by the Apostle Paul, who is dealing with a church with a lot of problems. They argue over human sexuality, food, what clothing to wear, how to have communion, basically everything we still fight over today. But he's teaching them how to be a better church. Let's hear now about the gifts God has given us and how they are to be used. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 31. Hear now the word of the Lord.
One body with many members. For just as the body is one and has many members, all the members of the body, though many, are one body. So it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot were to say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear were to say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with great honor. And our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way.
And from Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 5 through 10, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands. Then they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Many Levites helped the people to understand the law while the people remained in their places. So they read from the book, from the law of God, with interpretation. They gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. And he said to them, Go your way, eat the fat, and drink sweet wine, and send portions of them to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, make us an inclusive community, passionately following Jesus Christ. Transform my heart and my life. Teach me and all of us to be a part of the body of Christ. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All of creation is pretty special, and one way I know that's true is when I look at animals. My sister, she just got a dog. His name is Arthur, and he's a Morkie, a Maltese and Yorkshire Terrier cross. She had just sent her friend a message saying, I just keep feeling like a cute little dog is going to show up in my life, when my mom sent her a picture of this delightful creature waiting for adoption. So now my sister and Arthur are inseparable. When she shared this photo with the rest of my family, my brother said, Wait, did you steal my dog and I didn't notice it? He just recently got a multi-poo who looks very, very similar. Dogs, they are just one way to feel connected with the world around us. Sometimes for the way they look, sometimes for the traits they have. And another great feature of dogs we see is in all the incredible stories of dogs rescuing people from rivers and on mountains. One of my favorite stories is from that of Jasmine the Greyhound. She was a stray dog rescued by a police officer who found her alone, shaking and starving, locked inside a garage. He brought her to a wildlife sanctuary where she was nursed back to health. But the best part is what happened next. She was super gentle and nurturing, even though she had experienced so many bad things in life. So when other animals came into the sanctuary, she would help them out. First, it was the other dogs. She would make them feel welcome. Eventually, though, she would nurture and care for other kinds of animals, too. She was a foster dog mother to puppies, kittens, foxes, chicks, guinea pigs, bunnies, and even a deer. What a wonderful creature. And it affirms what God meant when he said that the creation he made was good. God's work didn't stop there, of course. People are incredible, too. After all of creation, after the heavens and earth, land and sea, God made animals, and the crowning achievement among them was the creation of Adam and Eve, two humans made in the image of God. That meant they were made with God's essence inside of them. The work that God wanted to do on this earth could happen through them. The ability to love and nurture was there, as well as shaping the environment around us. All of this was placed inside of humanity from the very beginning. We have figured out how to make fire and control it. We can make enough food to feed over 8 billion people. We made the printing press, then the internet. We controlled electricity and then developed computer chips to process information from a phone in the palm of our hands to the splitting of an atom. Humans have accomplished amazing feats. God made it so we could do all this, and it was good. Yet on the other side, people can do some pretty stupid things too. Whether it's commenting too long, didn't read on something that has the literal answer to your question in it, or not realizing that when you don't know who the dumbest person in the room is, it's probably you. I love the stories of silly things criminals do too. There's a joke about a burglar who got into a house one night, shining his flashlight on the floor in the dark. He heard a voice saying, "Jesus is watching you." He looked around nervously, but he didn't see anything. And then he hears it again. Jesus is watching you. This time he shines the light everywhere until finally he finds a parrot. He asks, "Did you say that?" And the parrot admits that it did. "I'm trying to warn you, that's all." And the burglar said, "Warn me, huh? Who are you? What's your name?" "Moses." "Well, what kind of stupid people would name a parrot Moses?" And the bird answers, "I don't know. I guess the same folks who would name a Rottweiler Jesus." We are just never as smart as we think we are. I was at a Starbucks this week and some women were playing cards near me. At one point, one of them mentioned how one of the fires out in California was started by an arsonist. And one of the women nearly shouts to the whole place, "They should be shot!" Starting a fire when a community is already dealing with wildfires seems like a truly terrible thing to do, doesn't it? People are beautiful, amazing, and creative, but we can also be very dim, very short-sighted. We can misunderstand others, be quick to judge, and even wreck relationships in a heartbeat. I've always thought of myself as a sociologist at heart. I love to observe people and think through why we do the things that we do. One of the more compelling things I've read in the last year or so on the topic is ways we are connected or disconnected from others. Some call it the antisocial generation. We are far less likely to join groups and clubs. We spend more time at home than any generation before us. Even spouses, it was found a couple of decades ago, spend 4 times as much time sitting next to their spouse watching TV than actually talking to them. There's something about us that makes us choose a life of isolation rather than in connection with others around us. That's strange, too, because we know we need each other. We need those connections. A researcher, Derek Thompson, noticed that these days people do fairly well when it comes to families. They put a lot of time and effort into supporting and nurturing children so they will have lots of opportunities in their future. We also tend to do well in making connections with what he describes as our tribe. We find people that think like us, or people who are going through the same kinds of situations as us. This is accelerated, of course, by phones and the internet. We can connect with people from all over the world that love to staple bread to trees or pictures of bees wearing top hats. Those are real things. Look it up. Whatever you are into, you can find a group of people out there that will connect with you on those same sorts of things. So his point is, we do well with family, where we learn to love, and we do well with tribes, where we learn an ideology. He calls those two things the inner ring of family and the outer ring of our tribe. But what about the middle ring? What about our neighbors? This is where we fall short as a society. We don't know our neighbors' names. We don't say hi to them. We struggle to understand why our neighbors vote the way that they do. And so we call them out of touch, misguided, or even crazy. We have lost our connection with our neighbors, and so we have grown intolerant of people who think differently from us. This isn't just out there in the world either. It has slipped into the church. We disagree with a brother or sister in Christ, and instead of offering tolerance and working to understand another's perspective, we reject them. We go home shaking our heads, saying, "How could they ever believe that?" And then we fight them at every opportunity we get. Friends, this is not the way of the Lord. The Apostle Paul tells us clearly that we are many members of one body. There's no mystery in this passage, no hidden meaning. All of us together are the body, and Jesus is the head. No one person should think of themselves as better than the others or as more important. It's about all of us working together for the good of our church, the good of our community, and the good of our world. So he illustrates it like this. Imagine an eye thinks they are better than everyone because they do all the seeing. That's ridiculous. We need our ears and nose. We need our feet to take us places and our hands to do the work. It's everyone working together. There's no other way. Jesus essentially says the same thing. When he's asked what's the most important commandment, he says to love God and that the second is like it. Does he say we have to love our family as we love ourselves? No. Does he say we have to love our tribe and the people who think like us the way we love ourselves? No, of course not. He says to love your neighbor as yourself. It's all of us, a team of people who are better together. Every single one of us matters. No matter how smart or dumb we might be, no matter how rich or poor, gifted or not, we are the body together that honors one another. And Paul says this, if one member suffers, all suffer. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Here's my favorite part about what Paul's description of the members of the church is. He ends with the specific kinds of gifts there are in the church, apostles, prophets, and teachers. He's even listing them in a tiered order where the first ones are most important. But along the way, he says, we all matter. All gifts matter. And so he ends it with this. But strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. And what is that more excellent way? What do all the gifts and talents of the church point to? They point to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, perhaps the most famous chapter in all the Bible that is regularly read at weddings. It is a chapter on love. All of these gifts are for the purpose of loving others. Love your neighbor as yourself. God gave you a gift so you can love others better. And I keep wondering, all the years I've been here at Grace United Methodist Church, how can this church love our neighbors better? We do missions work to feed the hungry, but since the pandemic, sometimes we don't get a chance to sit with our neighbor and get to know them. We have a congregational care team that sits with widows and the homebound. That's an excellent chance to get to know others. We need to do more of that for sure. We have our youth ministry, and I love to see adults volunteering with it because we learn and grow from those young people. One of my favorite things we've done with the youth group recently is to play some Jeopardy. I get to make up all the questions myself, and you never know how it's going to go. But the last time we played was amazing. It gave a chance for each of our young people to shine, to step up and answer a question that they and only they knew the answer to. It was the body of Christ coming together, each member special and unique. This is a message not just for us in this building, though. We are meant to grow the church community by telling people out there that they are special and unique and beloved by God. We can't sit at home alone watching TV or huddled with our families, absorbed with our own kin benefiting, and we can't just accept the people that think like us and act like us because they feel like a part of the tribe already. We've got to expand our connections to grow in our tolerance of our neighbors, even when they don't make a lick of sense to us, because that's what it means to love them. That's what it means to respect the other parts of the body and to show honor even if we aren't smart enough to figure out why we should. That's God's job to figure that out. We are called to love and to find new ways to expand the community. What are one or two ways you can do that today? Keep thinking about how kids need more outdoor time, but town sports are dominated by a few kids who excel. It's no fun. How do we create space for different kinds of kids to have fun and honor one another for exactly who they are? What's God calling you to today? A kind word to a neighbor? Maybe an apology for someone that you've offended, or an invitation to dinner? Find a way to connect with your neighbor and show them they matter. They are a part of the body and deserve our love. Let's end with this. There's a bus driver here in New Jersey named Herman Cruz. One day he noticed that a kindergartner seemed a little sad on the ride to the elementary school. Herman asked the kindergartner what was wrong, and the boy said he couldn't complete his reading assignment because his parents were too busy with his siblings to help him practice reading. Herman would nap between his bus routes, so he said, "Listen, I have some free time, and if you don't mind, I'd like to come to the school and read with you." He got permission from the teacher to show up the following week, and when he walked in, the boy shouted, "Hey, that's my bus driver!" Herman went to a quiet corner to read with the boy. And then a second student wanted to read to him. And then a third. All these kids were going to the teacher asking, "Can I read with Mr. Herman?" They decided to call his reading circle Mr. Herman's Kids. And the teacher said of him, "He's a bright light at our school who makes every child feel loved and heard. They're all drawn to his energy." Kids are more excited to read, too. One even had a rough time with reading at the beginning of the school year, but is doing better because of this one-on-one time. In the morning, he wakes up excited and says, "I'm going to read with Mr. Herman." Then another bus driver joined in, and it has grown and grown. What started out as a way to kill time has now blossomed into a way to make a difference in the heart of a child. Now, if the world can do that, how much more can we do as the body of Christ? We honor one another because God has made people the crown of his creation. We aren't better than one another. We're just different, and we need to find ways to love and bless each other. It's what Paul meant when he said to care for one another. It's what the Levites were doing when they interpreted God's word for the people. And it's what Jesus commands of us when he says to love your neighbor as yourself. Be a blessing as you love your family, as you love your tribe, and as you love your neighbor. Amen. Amen.
For everything happening at Grace, check out our website at gumc.org.